It's excellent to have a group gathered this morning for sharing the warmth of God's love and also hearing from our friends at Washington Community Scholars Center about seminars and internships and community and group life and everything else. Welcome to those who are here for campus visit. I have a hunch that the majority of folks I just welcomed are not here yet, but will be coming within the next 5 minutes, and that's great. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to chapel. Thanks for coming out today in this rainy weather. I'm actually kind of glad it is raining. Today in chapel, we are going to talk about the Washington Community Scholars Center. These lovely faces are in a house of 15 people, and it's located in the northeast part of Washington, D.C., and we have a really good time. It's about a 10-minute ride from downtown. And so today we're going to talk about our lives in D.C. and our internships. Just to give you a brief, overview of what we do, each of us have an internship that we attend 20 hours a week. And they place us in these internships according to our major. I'm a communications major, so I am in a radio station. Also with internships, we have area universities that we attend. I go to Trinity University, which is an all-women's college really close to my house. Some other ones are Howard University, and Catholic, and UDC. We have two wonderful professors that come in every day and teach us and expand our minds. We have Kim Schmidt, who's sitting down front here. She is doing our seminar this semester. They rotate every other semester. And Doug Hertzler, who I think is right there. and they do a wonderful job of doing our seminar classes, which is what we meet once a week, usually on Wednesdays, and that is a total of 6 credits. And this semester, we're doing a multicultural history of Washington, D.C., and experiencing modern art. Also, I want to throw this out here for you guys to know, a little piece of information, that you don't have to do just WCSC. If you're interested in doing a semester-long cross-cultural, you can also do that and Washington Scholars. I am one of those students who did both. I went on a semester-long cross-cultural, and I think there are actually about 6 people in this house this semester that did both. So don't cut yourself short, because you can do both. You do get credit for your internship and seminar classes. And I think they touch on the community or global curriculum, community curriculum. So that's a plus. So you can get credit for doing those types of things. Before I go any further, I think that we need to introduce each of ourselves. My name is Sabrina Tusing. I'm a senior communications major, and I'm interning at WPFW, which is Washington, D.C.'s Pacifica radio station. So that's what I do, and I think we're going to start down here with Wendy.
Good morning. My name is Wendy Lorisme, and I'm doing my internship at this place called ActionAid International, USA, and it's a nonprofit anti-poverty agency, and I work at the Women's Rights Department.
Hi, I'm Chelsea Lawhorn. I'm a junior social work major, and I'm interning at Kids Peace, which is a therapeutic foster care agency right off Capitol Hill. And so we serve therapeutic foster children and in the D.C., Maryland, Northern Virginia area.
My name is Esther Good. I'm a social work major, and I work at Catholic Charities Refugee Center, and we just provide a range of services to refugees in the D.C. area.
I'm Julie Dellinger, and I am also a social work major. I'm interning at DC Action for Children. It's an advocacy group working with DC's kids, their families, and youth in the area.
I'm Laura Arndt, and I am a senior social work major as well with these fine ladies. And I am working at Mary House. It's a organization that's nonprofit, non-government. It provides services to refugees and immigrants, mainly housing issues.
Hello, my name's Isabel Castillo. I'm also a social work major. I'm a senior. And my internship's at Mary Center for Maternal and Child Care. It provides services to families in D.C., so it's not just for mother and children. But that's where I'm interning.
My name is Catherine Bloom, and my major is Justice, Peace, and Conflict Studies, and I'm interning at the Faith and Politics Institute, and what we do is help to foster relationships on the Hill.
Hello, I'm Tamara Falco, and I'm a senior art major. My internship is at Latin American Youth Center's Art and Media House, and I help out with an after-school program that has art classes for high schoolers and middle schoolers.
Hi, I'm Melissa Nagy. I'm a third-year Goshen College student and now an EMU student. I'm an interdisciplinary major. Art history and Bible and religion are my concentrations. And I have an internship at WVSA. It's Washington Very Special Arts. It's a charter school as well as an art gallery.
I'm Francis Johnson. I'm a senior computer science major. And I do my internship at Empower, and that's a nonprofit IT firm that provides IT solutions to fellow nonprofits.
Hi, my name is Hillary. One of the other secrets of the WCSC program is that you don't actually have to be an EMU student. I'm from Goshen. I'm a junior Bible, religion, and philosophy major, and I'm working at the National Coalition for the Homeless.
Hi, I'm Johannes Werku. I'm a senior math major at EMU, and I am interning at National Institutes of Health and Statistics.
Hi, I'm Anisha Devadasan. I'm interning at the Environmental Protection Agency. Basically, what I do is help to come up with policies and stuff that regulate pesticides between Canada, America, and Mexico.
All right. As you can see, there's a huge range of majors within our house, and it's just a really good experience to be able to go out every day to our internships and experience real life situations. A lot of these people have a lot of duties at their internships, and it makes for really good, it just builds up a confidence in yourself and in your major. And so I really recommend, this is a really good program to broaden your perspective of your major. And so next, I'm going to talk a little bit about our seminar that we have once a week. We have a classroom in the basement of our house, of our three-story house, and we don't often sit around the table in the classroom, which is really good for me because I can't sit for very long. We oftentimes go out into the city and study art and architecture, and we dip into history of ethnic groups and how immigration and things like of that nature. And I'm going to read a little blurb out of my journal that I wrote. I would say in the last four weeks ago, we visited an area of D.C. We were talking about, we just finished reading a book about alleys where a lot of African Americans lived during slavery and up into, you know, the early 19th century. So I'm going to read a little bit about Langston Terrace, which is now a really, it's a lower class neighborhood, and it was really a touching place for me to go to, because not only is it a place for these people to live, there's artwork that's displayed on the wall, and I think that's it. There's just one piece of it. It's not the whole mural. One can read a book or see pictures of Washington, D.C.'s alleys and housing, such as Langston Terrace, but no one can really get a clear picture of these places until you experience them in person. I felt that it was important, personally and as a group, to experience firsthand some of the lower-class housing developments in Washington. I can see where Langston Terrace was once a nice setting for new families when it was built in the 1930s, but as with anything, it deteriorated with time. As our group stood surrounded by cracked walls and pavement and music blaring out of the apartment windows, I became curious to know if the people that live in the area understand how the development came to be and if they understand the timeless artwork that is displayed in the courtyard and on the walls. Do they even pay attention?
When I was standing there looking at the figure of the strong woman with her two children at her feet, I quickly got cold chills. There's a story to tell of the times that have passed through those walls and passageways and in front of this woman. Good times, hopeful times, and bad times. Yet this woman stands tall and strong with her children. I want to know if the women of Langston Terrace look at this woman and see power, strength, and honor that the statue portrays, and if they feel that they too can be the strong woman, motherly figure of their children. The statue is inspirational and it has a story to tell, and it is telling a story. I can only hope that the story can reach the people of Langston Terrace and to show them that there is hope.
We're just going to give you a quick overview of famous people we've seen. And if you guys are cool, then you're going to actually answer these questions because we have candy. So you get candy if you answer them. All right. This man is a former crack-smoking mayor whose last name rhymes with cherry. Anybody guess? Yep, you're right.
This man was born in Philly and starred in movies such as Unfaithful and The Mothman Prophecies. What?
He's Buddhist. This is our current Speaker of the House.
Easy there. This person just received the Congressional Medal of Honor this month.
Wears a saffron robe. And he's really short.
And he's really short.
Dalai Lama.
This is a children's author of the books Little Critters. Wow. Good.
This man helped found many governmental and non-governmental organizations, including the Environmental Protection Agency, and he really loves green living.
Rob Nader. This war activist spent many weeks camping out in front of President Bush's ranch house in Texas.
This high-energy, red-headed singer loves to sing about sundresses and the number 13.
This man's father was from Kenya, and his mother was from the Midwest. Oh, and he is running against Hillary Clinton.
This man currently has 30% approval rating in the U.S., and he really loves his oil.
This man works for a wizard, but he has no magical skills, and he wears the number 0.
This 1980s icon loved his parachute pants and his flat top hair.
Hey. Right. This man is very big, wears purple, and likes to hit people.
This performer's first CD was entitled One Day It'll All Make Sense.
He's a rap artist. Calvin. All right. This is the host of Democracy Now.
Amy Grant. So I'm going to read a journal entry by Pete Nelson, who didn't make it here. He is a communications major working at Visual Edge, which is a small production company. September 18. At 7:30 a.m., I arrived at the northwest gate of the White House. After 15 minutes of standing around acting like I belonged there, I was ushered into a security building by a police officer clearing Pennsylvania Avenue for some kind of procession. Once inside, I met Betsy Patrick from Fox News, who, although I pictured her as an evil manipulating witch, was very friendly and shown me into the newly redesigned press briefing room. "Hurry up and wait," Betsy told me, is the general slogan for television news. As much of a stretch as it is calling Fox News Channel News, that was a pretty accurate explanation of what I did for the rest of the day. First, we waited for Bruce and Gonzo, the two cameramen, to clear security with all their equipment. Then we waited outside the kitchen entrance for President Bush's liaison, Kevin, to escort us into the map room where we would be shooting. By this time, it was probably around 9:30. Then the scramble began. We hustled to set up about 15 to 20 lights, preparing for a three-camera interview with Bush. That lasted a little over an hour, and then Bruce and Gonzo had to drive to the Capitol building to shoot a few minutes of footage with Dick Cheney. So for the next 2 hours, I tried to stay awake back in the press briefing room after lunch. After lunch, it was time to wait once again for Kevin. And about 2 p.m., we made the final adjustments to the lights and got ready. I waited. Eventually, in walked George W. Bush. He asked the interviewer, Brett Beyer, how his family was, and sat down in the chair for the interview. 20 minutes later, I was helping clean up. So on the day, I did a lot of waiting and a little bit of hurrying, all for 18 minutes of propaganda, to use Gonzo's word. Apparently, when you're the president, you expect things to be ready for you when you're available, and everyone else works around you. We weren't even allowed to touch the furniture in the room. We had to ask White House staff to move things for us for the interview. I did get to sit in the same chair as Bush, though, in order to frame the shots and get the lighting exactly right. But at the end of the day, we had put in 8 hours at the White House to be ready for 20 minutes of the president's time, because time is money. That's what I've learned through this internship. The more important you are, the more your time is worth. Maybe someday my time will be worth as much as George W. Bush's. I doubt it.
Smile. Show me that the seeds of your discontent have not taken root. Display for me that sign of eternal, internal well-being. Smile. Show me the wisdom of my ways, your soul unfazed by unreasonable demands, heated irons held to your skin, pain and anger held within, with teeth clenched of. Show me 28 ways I haven't done wrong. Leap year me into a season of self-righteousness, black cavalcade me away from nearsightedness with an intoxicating elixir so strong, nectar of a deaf, dumb, and blind nether god, antidote to sodium pentothal and leather wrist straps. Just give me some of that old reassurance. Tell me that it ain't so bad. Sing undisguised work songs to me, white as cotton. Take me back to simple days of rules, of order, proper divisions and simple instructions. Tote, lift, hump, and hue. Soft, humming nights and busted mouths oozing red on brown. Smile, show me all 32. Lift your tongue to show me no hidden razor blades. Show your molars hiding no encapsulated cyanide. Show me no incisors sharpened for mortal combat. Let me touch your lips and mouth for familiarity. Bring me closer to you the way it once was. Peel back your lips and bless me with your easy fortune. Open your mouth and smile. That poem is called 450 Years of Selective Memory or Smile. It's by Ken McManus. This is my textbook. It's called Bum Rush the Page. It was compiled by Tony Medina, who also happens to be my professor. I'm taking a poetry class. I think Sabrina mentioned one of the opportunities that we have in D.C. is to take classes at a local university. And so I was given the choice, Catholic or Howard, and then there's also people taking classes at University of District Columbia, Corcoran, a couple other schools, I think, too. So I decided to take classes at Howard. I'm taking one for my major, which is classical ethics, and that's a lot of fun. Yesterday we sat around discussing the morality of going to clubs and whether it helps you further your life or not. And then I also have a poetry class, which is as much reading poetry as it is writing. So I'm going to share a couple of the things I've written coming out of that class. And first, just a couple of things. I don't write sonnets, and I don't write about love. And in this class, I had to write a love sonnet. And this is what happened. It came to me unfamiliar, like sprouting wings. With feathers of lead, I only learned to fall. I'll wait out this dream until I wake from these scenes. Falling, breaking, I prefer no wings at all. He looks like grace, offering to teach me to fly. I burn my heart black and scatter the ashes, saying, not him, not anyone. Love, goodbye. Love, go return to the self-deceived masses. He collects my ashes and puts them to a flame, waits till it's red hot and reaches in with a hand, carefully molding them heart-shaped again, gives it back whole, asking, may I have this dance? I want to turn him away in self-defense, but since he saved my heart, maybe love makes sense. This class just kind of goes all over the place. Sometimes we have digressions into just about anything. But we also do some really creative, strange things to try to get inspiration and get creativity flowing. So our professor usually brings in his stereo to every class, walks it up from his office, and was always playing music while we're writing. And one day he brought in a whole box of fortune cookies, gave us all a fortune cookie, and had us write a poem using the title. Our title was the fortune that we got. And then one other time we had to write a poem in list form. He started playing jazz music, and he said, every line that you write has to begin with jazz is. And so I wrote this piece, and then we read them all aloud in class, which is a lot of fun to hear what other people are writing. But someone raised their hand to read theirs, and he's like, before you read your poem about jazz, I want you to go through and cross out every single time you wrote jazz is. And so this is the poem that I got that came out of that, and it's called The Tune of Unremembering. The history I can't touch, noisy and bright and gritty in your pores, teaches me to dance to the music, not the steps. Rhythm, not paradigm, the only class I ever failed. Survivance. As long as there's music, we can more than survive. It's elevator music sent through a blender and drunk down during Prohibition because everyone needs an escape. Needs to fall off the planet smooth and slow like honey. Bittersweet, blues sweet, strong, but I am weak. Yes, Jesus, forgetfully deep. Awakening from the long sleep, this song is drunk as a reaction to the opiate of the masses, line by line unwinding me, scattering the layers, no skin, no memory, no distance between.
Okay, we're about out of time, but if you want to learn more, or if you're interested in learning more about the WCSC program, there are brochures on the back table in chapel, and immediately following chapel will be a coffee house event with all of us there, so if you want to ask us some one-on-one questions, that's where we're going to be. So stick around for Friday announcements, and I also strongly encourage you to stick around after that if you don't have to rush off to class, because we have a slideshow of pictures from our house and different events we've been to. Thank you.
Howdy, y'all. How you folks doing? Great. Well, I tell you what, I'm more excited than a weasel in chicken coop. You know why? We got some exciting stuff this weekend. Me and Houdini here, we're going to tell you all about it. Let's see, you got the list, Houdini? All right, there it is. All right. I tell you, tonight, the CAC is putting on its annual barn dance. Whee! You can join 150 of your fellow students at this annual tradition of live bluegrass music and a call, I tell you. No experience is necessary, as a call will guide you through everything you need to know. This is one of the highlights of every year, and of course, there'll be traditional treats such as apple cider, apples, and carving pumpkins. Whee! You best bring your best dress flannel. It's going to be one knee-slapping bona fide hootenanny hoedown. Admission is $2, and it's at Friday night at Showalter's Barn. You can get your directions online. Whoa! Whoa, Houdini! Whoa! I know it's exciting, but the dancing ain't started yet. Also this weekend, EMU Field Hockey has their ODAC quarterfinal game here tonight. No, sorry, Saturday night. It's going to be at number one EMU versus number eight Sweetbriar. You best be coming. You can bring, tell all your friends. Bring your cousin, your mother, your sister, your brother. Shoot, bring them all, even if they are the same person. There is no admission. It's free. Come and support the Royals field hockey team as they look to continue the undefeated streak in the ODAX. And just a note, Fall Fest is canceled until November 3rd. Sorry, but this rain out here ain't doing us no good. All right, well, you guys have a great day. See you at the barn dance tonight, and enjoy the slideshow. It's going to be real nice.